Hallelujah. God has been so good this week. I want to go this morning briefly to Acts chapter 20, starting with verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. He preached until, and y'all think we're long-winded. We're not long-winded at all. He preached until midnight. I hope you came comfortable this morning. I'm not preaching till midnight. Verse 8, and there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. Okay, here's your chance to be honest. How many of you have ever fallen asleep in church before? Yeah. Okay. It's not from us preaching too long. Obviously, you didn't go to bed early enough. Being fallen into a deep sleep, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Verse 10, and Paul went down and fell on him, embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, still talking, even till break of day. We can barely get people here on one service for Sunday morning. Two services. The break of day. So he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. I want to talk to you briefly this morning about the window seat. Say that with me, the window seat. The window seat. Lord Jesus, we come to you today. God, we're asking for your anointing. We're asking for your Holy Ghost power to come into our hearts and our souls and our minds today. Lord, let us be sensitive to your word today. Let us be sensitive to your presence today. Let every song, every singer, every worshiper, every teacher be anointed today. Let us as hearers of your word be anointed today. God, I'm praying for an outpouring of your spirit in this place, in our community, not just on this day, but God, for the days and weeks to come. People would feel your presence and be drawn to your presence, to the house of God. I'm asking you to touch each and every person here today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The window seat. The window seat. When I was younger, I won't say smaller. I never remember being small. Actually, when I was about 7, I was very small. I was skin and bones, and they prayed for me. They thought I was going to die because I was so skinny. Obviously, they were prayer warriors, and their prayer worked. Because now I'm so big, I'm afraid I'm going to die. So, yeah, anyway. But when I was younger, my dad had a white van. As an industrial van. You see a lot of commercial food trucks that are made out of these now. And it had on the front a sliding door with a big window. And I was very protective at that point of my sister. I still am, but I was super sensitive about her getting close to that door or that window in fear that she would fall out. I was terrified of it. The door would slide open on its own at times when you take off or when you would stop. And actually at one point, I don't remember the exact year, but her hand actually got slammed in that door and she almost lost a finger because of that door and that window. So my fears were in good conscience, obviously. But I want to talk about the window seat. How many of you, when flying, you request a window seat? Yeah, Yeah, I like it because you can kind of lean against the wall. You know, it's a little more comfortable. And either that or the aisle, either way. But the window seat, you can see what's on the outside. So my question is during the days of that you have back then, they didn't have nice AC and heat and climate control. They had open windows, and it would let in the cool breeze of the evening and the bugs and anything else that would want to come in or out could. And it was their way getting in fresh air. And why would you want to sit in a window? How would you like to go sit in this window right here, Brother Petrie, this morning? Instead of your nice comfortable seat, you can sit in that window. Nobody wants to sit in a window. You might sit next to a window, but you don't want to sit in the window. A window is not made for sitting in. It's not very comfortable. It is a place through which light and fresh air enters the room. Nevertheless, in a spiritual sense, there are many in the church today across America, many Christians across America who are like this young man, if you will. They are sitting in the most precarious and dangerous of place. They are sitting in the window seat. We could assume any number of reasons that this young man may have chosen to sit by or in the window. The place could have been crowded. There might not have been an available seat for him to sit. Maybe he was respecting another elder or someone who was older than him. Allow me to give you my seat. I'll go sit in the window, the window. It could have been that it was hot and stuffy in the room, and maybe he was a little warm-natured like I am, and he needed a little more breeze coming in and blowing on him. Maybe he got just a little bit tired, and he desperately wanted to hear the Word of God, so he decided to move his chair and to sit in the window to get a little bit of fresh air. That might have been where he always sat. Maybe that was his place. Maybe you know, the scripture doesn't tell us, but it does tell us that he sat in the window. He was sitting in the window. We don't really know. But I have a feeling, and I'm more prone to believe, that he had begun to get a little disinterested, a little complacent in what was taking place inside. He had lost his desire for the things of God. He had begun to lose interest. The Word of God was no longer exciting to him. And as he slips farther and farther away from the presence of the Spirit and Word, the window is where he sat. The window is as close to the inside as he could get, yet as close to the outside as he could get. For when you're in the window, you're in between the in and the out. The window became the place where he could be inside and still see what was going on outside. Promise I'm going somewhere. In this context, the window... The window could be the place a lot of people like to sit in times that we're living in today, in America today. A lot of people are sitting in the window, in society, in religion, in family. They sit in the window. The window could represent that condition of our commitments and our convictions. The window seat. Hebrews 10 and 39, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Draw back, that word means to shrink, to shun, to keep back, to render useless, to put out of the way entirely, to abolish. That's what draw back means. Perdition means destroying, destroying, utter destruction, a perishing, ruin, destruction which consists of eternal misery in hell. Pretty strong definitions. So another interpretation of Hebrews 10 could be worded like this: they are shunning their calling, abolishing their convictions, and are perishing, headed for destruction. And that's what many people around the world and across America are doing. There's a reason that our founding fathers built this country and our Constitution and the things of our government around and upon God. In God we trust. If we ever lose that covering and protection and blessing of God, I'm afraid we're in trouble. We're up a creek without a paddle. We've got to have God in the equation. We've got to have God at the center of our life and our world. Make God the center of your home and the center of your life. Window seat. There is today in many of our Christian churches and Christian people across America a very obvious drawback spirit. There is a falling away spirit. It is a spirit that wants all the blessings of God, the healings of God, the miracles of God, the prosperity of God, all without a commitment, all without conscience, a relationship, a responsibility, or loyalty. If it's the blessing line, then we're the first in it. We're the last to leave it. Talking about Christians across America, you look at our society. In early 90s, when the Gulf War broke out, our church doors couldn't open fast enough. In fact, we got there that morning and there was a line of about 50 people waiting to get in the church that had never been in the church because they were scared. This is World War III. Saddam Hussein is the devil and we're going down and we need to go to church. But as time wore on, those same people began to disappear one by one by one by one. And now in the year 2014, it's like you see people and they're callous and they're cold. And you beg them to come to the house of God. Well, I have this and I have that. I had a young lady this week tell me, her coworker that I have been working on, and he is going to come in Jesus' name. He's working today. He is going to come. He looked over there and said, "Why don't you come to church with me? I'm going to go visit his church. Why don't you come with me?" "Oh, I don't go to church." "Oh, you don't? Why not?" "Well, I just don't do those kind of things." "But why not?" "Well, I have a Bible." I mean, she just started volunteering this. I'm just keeping my mouth shut. "I have a Bible, but I only read it when I get bored." He looked at her, and I'm not saying a word. I'm just listening. And he looked at her and he said, "You're crazy." He said, "Do you know God hears you?" And I'm like, "Amen, hello." Things we say, the things we respond, how we respond matters. There is power to kill or to heal in that tongue right there. The power of the tongue, the spoken word. It matters, the things that we say. And I pray that the power of God just gets all over her and convicts her, and that she will come with him when he comes. Amen. I'm still praying for him to come. But you can't sit in the window seat. If it's the blessing line, we're the first in it. We're the first to be there. If it's commitment and dedication and consecration, then there's a big question mark for people across America. We're talking about people in our city, people in our community that we're working with. There's a question mark when it comes to commitment or dedication or consecration. That's when for some strange reason, you know, your bladder starts going off and your little alarm, "I need to go to the restroom," you know, altar call is fixing to come, or the baby starts squealing, or, you know, we have to step out and make a phone call. "It was an emergency, Brother Chris." You know, we just had to do it. But the power of God is in the room and in the place, and the anointing is there. And you step out of that. Don't step out. Just stay. The baby will stop crying. Just get involved with the power and the presence of God and let God touch your life. Commitment. Consecration, dedication. The spiritual condition of the world around us that I'm talking about is the window seat. The window seat. From the window seat, it seems that you have such a good view. In Alaska, many of the houses that you, I mean, it can be a shack. But you go inside the house and you look out the window and they call it a million-dollar view because in any direction there's mountains and there's bays and you might see an eagle fly by. And it's a window into something that's beautiful. People in the window seat can see all the problems in the church. They hear every sour note of the musicians. They see all the flaws of all the others and all the fakes. And they see how everything should be done. We're talking about people sitting in the window seat. They know the right way, right away what kind of praise should have happened and should happen. And, you know, they didn't lift their hands fast enough. And they know when the preacher preaches a dud or a masterpiece. They can see all the weakness, faults of others. And it goes on and on and on. But from the window seat, they also see where they came from, what they used to be, where they used to be, what they were saved from. It's amazing to the view you have from the window seat. I personally sit in a window seat on an airplane, number one, because I can't get through that window if it were to break. Hallelujah. Number two, I have a view of the world around me. But sitting in the window seat spiritually can be a very, very dangerous place. From the window seat, things that you had left outside are easy to see. Things that God delivered you from come back into view and they begin to haunt you and get into your mind. Things that you should have shut the door on and left outside. Things that you have dealt with and you knew they were destroying your life and your body and your witness and your character and hurting your body and causing division in your family and your home. All of a sudden, they become visible again and you begin to watch them, and from the window seat they have become attractive again. And the devil begins to work on your mind and your spirit, and begins to say, well, you know, it really is not that bad. You can control it. The window seat is a very dangerous place to sit. It's very dangerous. Like Eutychus, there are so many that are deceived into believing that they can look at all those things and it won't have any effect on them. It won't have any change in their life. They believe that they can think about it as long as they don't do it. And they say, and you've heard people say, well, I'm strong, I can handle it. I won't do that. I won't fall. I can take care of this. I had a young man several years ago tell me God had called him to the ministry and he was a good young speaker and just a young guy. He's about 28 now. And he come to me and he said, I want a better witness. And I said, what better witness could you have than you're a child of God and you've been protected and saved from all of this stuff? And, well, no, I want to go experience all this stuff. And I looked at him and I said, when will you know, when is enough enough? When will you know to quit? How will you stop all this stuff? Because these things that you're talking about, they can be very infectious and addictive. And it will change your life. You have a witness right now with who you are. You are good enough. You are good enough. You can live for God just how you are. You don't have to go experience something in the world and have tragedy and torment and pain and come back into church and then tell people, oh, look at what God's done for me. No. You can witness just how you are. None of us are perfect. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have been in the window seat at one point of our life. He went out. Addicted to drugs, addicted to drinking, addicted to smoking. Go out with anybody, anytime, anywhere. Fights, steals. He's so far from the house of God and the things of God now. When do you stop? How do you stop? I just come to tell somebody this morning, be careful of what you're doing. Get Jesus in your life and let Jesus take over. Stop going back to the old man and the old way and the old things. And get away from the door. Get away from the window. It's going to slam on your hand. You're going to fall out the window like Eutychus did. And there might not be an Apostle Paul there to lift you up from the dead. Eutychus was deceived into believing that he could look at those things and take those things and see those things. It wouldn't have any effect of him. I'm strong. I'm not going to fall. I can handle this. Don't you understand? I'm stronger than that. I'm better than that. No, you're not. None of us are. We are all flesh. We all have desires and things that we work on. I was telling someone this week in a Bible study, you don't have to teach those children how to steal, how to lie, how to cheat, how to manipulate. They get it naturally. But you do have to train a child in the way they should go. You do have to teach them the things in the Word of God and the things of God. You do have to take a stand and draw a line in the sand and say, hey, buddy, you're going to the house of God as long as you're under this roof. You've got to teach them those things. You've got to put those desires and those wants in their life. You've got to teach them how to read the Bible. You've got to share the Word of God with them. But I promise you, every one of them can lie. Oh yeah, you're nice little Susie and whatever their name might be. Yeah, they lie. They cheat. They hurt people. Yeah. It comes natural. They're human. They're flesh. So they start flirting with thoughts, and people are sitting by the window seat, start flirting with thoughts of how fun it would be just one more time to watch one of these things that I know I shouldn't be watching or seeing or opening up my mind to. Or they call up that old worldly friend, hey, bud, come on over. Let's have a drink. One more beer. Smoke that last joint. The list goes on and on and on of the things that the devil will throw at us. And of course they think, well, I would never do that. I'm just thinking about it. I'm just looking around. I'm just sitting in the window here and I'm seeing the stuff that I used to do. And you know, it might be fun to try one more time. The window seat is a place of temptation. It's a place of opportunity. It's a place of appeal. It's a place of enticement. Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. It's time to get out of the window seat. It's time to stop playing patty cake church or religion with God. Don't give the devil the opportunity. Don't give him the opportunity to persuade you. Don't put yourself in a place of temptation. The window seat increases your chances of falling. The window seat increases your chances of messing up your life, and there are consequences. I can tell you by experience, one or two decisions that I have made in my life without the covering of my father, because he was dead, and now I am living to pay for those mistakes. One moment, one decision can change your world for the good or for the bad. It's time to get God on the heart. Get God in your mind. Get sold out to the things of God. Stop sitting on the window seat. It's time to take a stand for the things of God in our community, in our schools, in our homes, in our families. The window seat. Eutychus never intended to fall. He didn't go to the meeting to fall. He went to the meeting to hear the word of God. He didn't go to fall.